This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for subscribing to these podcasts. You can subscribe to our newsletter, which is also free. Comes out once a week, typically on Thursdays. Go to drhoffman.com to sign up. You can unsubscribe at any time. We do not use your email for any other reason or share it with anyone. Never. If you have any questions, topics of interest that you'd like to hear me discuss on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, you can email me. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the email. Radioprogram@AOL.com. If you'd like to make an appointment with me, call our office. We're at 635 Madison Avenue, between 59th and 60th Streets. If you're not in the tri-state area, or even if you are and you would rather not travel into Manhattan, we could have a telephone consultation. Call my office, 212-779-1744, 212-779-1744. I want to talk to you about some recent research. These are things we kind of already know, but I like seeing confirmation over and over how nutrition is very, very important in medical conditions, in metabolic conditions. Here's one from Gynecological Endocrinology. This is out in June of this year. Effects of vitamin D supplementation in women with polycystic ovary syndrome. This is a review. Polycystic ovary syndrome, if you don't know what that is, occurs in women with metabolic syndrome. Now, let me qualify that. When I say with metabolic syndrome, we're not sure what happens first, the PCOS, which is the polycystic ovary syndrome, or the insulin resistance, the metabolic syndrome, which then causes the PCOS. I know Dr. Perlmutter, neurologist in Naples, Florida, says that it's the metabolic syndrome that happens first, and that insulin resistance causes the hormone changes, the hormones to go awry, which then develops the PCOS. Interesting stuff. But it can be managed with nutrition, and vitamin D definitely has a role. Increasing evidence supports the contribution of vitamin D deficiency in metabolic disturbances among women with polycystic ovary syndrome. The acronym, as you know, was PCOS. This review aims to assess the associations between vitamin D levels and metabolic/endocrine dysregulations, and to determine the effects of vitamin D supplementation on glucose metabolism, insulin sensitivity, lipid profile, and hormone functionality in PCOS patients. So this review, basically they search PubMed, which is the library that we all go to when we're looking at scientific research. They search PubMed for human randomized control trials published in English between 2016 and 2019 on the effects of vitamin D supplementation on PCOS. 9 studies were included and analyzed. Vitamin D supplementation restored physiological serum 25-hydroxy-D levels in PCOS women in all the studies included. That's good, because sometimes we see, we'll have somebody taking a vitamin D supplement, but their levels aren't going up. And there could be many reasons for that. It could be obesity, because fat cells sequester vitamin D. It could be medications. Certain medications keep vitamin D from going up in serum levels, like anti-seizure medications, some steroids. And that's problematic when you're trying to get serum levels up. In these women with PCOS, the vitamin D supplementation was helped to restore serum levels of vitamin D in all the studies that were included. In 6 studies of the 9, it significantly decreased fasting plasma glucose. It significantly decreased fasting blood sugar and brought improvements to insulin resistance and serum fasting insulin. In addition, 4 studies reported decreases of serum triglycerides, whereas other data really didn't, as far as cholesterol levels, nothing was really moved there significantly, which quite honestly I'm less concerned about, because triglycerides are a much bigger risk factor. Insulin resistance, high fasting glucose levels, or impaired glucose tolerance, these are much bigger risk factors for heart disease and all of that than just cholesterol levels, as we know. So high doses of vitamin D, and what's a high dose? What they looked at was about 4,000 international units, 4,000 IU. They call that a high dose, compared with a low dose, which was 1,000 IU, and placebo showed beneficial effects on total testosterone, sex hormone binding globulin, and free androgen index. So, interestingly, the high dose compared with the low dose and the placebo showed beneficial effects on testosterone. Here's the thing. Most often, you're going to see hormonal rebalancing. The testosterone coming down to normal levels, sex hormone binding globulin, that's SHBG, free androgen, all of that coming down to normal levels when you already see improvement in fasting blood sugar levels or overall blood sugar levels, improvements in insulin resistance and serum fasting insulin. When these parameters are fixed, when these biochemistries are fixed, then we see that hormonal dysregulation that was happening in PCOS start to right itself, start to come back in balance. So, vitamin D supplementation at high doses for a period of at least 12 weeks may lead to improvement in terms of glucose level, insulin sensitivity, hyperlipidemia, such as the high triglycerides they discussed, and hormone functionality in PCOS women. This is helpful. I know in my patients with PCOS, vitamin D is absolutely part of the regimen, besides other micronutrients like chromium, D-pinitol, it's chiroinositol, myoinositol, these are helpful. So, Nutrition, very important in this more and more prevalent condition that we're seeing in women called polycystic ovary syndrome. And, you know, it's also benefited, what also benefits PCOS, you could take all the supplements you wish, but you need to be on a proper diet. A lot of mainstream nutritionists out there insist that it's a balanced amount of carbohydrates. I beg to differ. It's a low-carb diet. Because of the ensuing high blood sugar levels, the insulin resistance, the lack of insulin sensitivity, when you lower the carbohydrates, all of those biochemistries fix themselves. The diet fixes it, to be more clear. So, more good news for coffee drinkers and tea drinkers. It's about caffeine. Caffeine exposure may stimulate fat loss. This comes from Integrative Practitioner. Brown adipose tissue, also known as brown fat, is one of two types of fat found in humans and other mammals. Initially, only attributed to babies and hibernating mammals, it was discovered in recent years that adults can have brown fat too. Its main function is to generate body heat by burning calories as opposed to white fat. That's how newborns keep warm. It's their brown fat. So its main function, brown fat's main function, is to generate body heat by burning calories as opposed to white fat, which is a result of storing excess calories. So think about that. The white adipose tissue, the white fat, is calorie storage. Brown fat is more metabolically active, because it's used to generate heat, burning of calories. So people of a lower weight, of a lower body mass index, of a lower BMI, therefore, have more brown fat. Increasing brown fat activity improves blood sugar control, as well as improving blood lipid levels. According to Michael Simons, PhD, University of Nottingham in England, he said the extra calories burned also help with weight loss. Absolutely. Stands to reason, right? If you're burning calories, you're going to lose weight. So, therefore, the research team wanted to find a way to stimulate brown fat activity in humans. Researchers, funded by the EU Cascade Fellowship, started with a series of stem cell studies to see if caffeine would stimulate brown fat. Once they had found the right dose, they then moved on to humans to see if the results were similar. And using a thermal imaging technique, thermal imaging is to look at the heat, measuring the heat, the team traced the body's brown fat reserves. The non-invasive technique helped researchers locate brown fat and assess its capacity to produce heat. From previous research, Simon said the team knew brown fat is mainly located in the neck region, so they were able to study someone immediately after they had a drink of coffee to see if the brown fat got hotter. This is interesting. The results were positive, he said. And the researchers now need to ascertain that caffeine, as one of the ingredients in the coffee, is acting as the stimulus, or if there's another component helping with the activation of brown fat? Could it be the caffeic acid? Could it be something else? And researchers are currently looking at caffeine supplements to test whether the effect is similar, Simon said. Once we have confirmed which component is responsible for the activity, it could potentially be used as a part of a weight management regime or as part of a glucose regulation program to help prevent diabetes. This brief article comes from Kathleen Rushlow at Integrative Practitioner. She writes some really nice articles that I like to reference here on this podcast. You know, another way to stimulate brown fat? Get cold. Dr. Hoffman has a great article on the website. Check out the website, drhoffman.com. In the search box there, put in brown fat. He's got a great article. I believe it's called Chill Out. Want to lose weight? Chill out. Get cold. Shivering stimulates brown fat. Walking around, for instance, it could be that in winter, we need to get a little more friendly with colder weather and not bundle up so much, not crank up the furnace so much in our homes. Maybe you want to set that thermostat at about 60. Brr, I heard you. Me too. But in that 60 degrees, here's the thing. You don't want to wear your two sweaters and a cardigan, right? You still need to be walking around in a t-shirt and a pair of shorts. So consider that. You want to be cold. You want to feel a little bit of shiver. This stimulates brown fat. And that's that metabolically active fat that we want in an effort to lose weight, more than the white fat. The big difference between brown fat and white fat. Brown fat is metabolically active. You want more of it. You want more of it so that you could burn it to keep warm, right? You'll keep warm better. White fat is the stuff that's packed on, is the fat that's packed on for storage. That's the fat we don't want. That's the fat under our skin. That's the visceral fat in between our organs, which is also more dangerous than the fat under the skin. The visceral fat, the fat between our organs, behaves more like an endocrine gland than does our subcutaneous fat. The subcutaneous fat is the fat under our skin. The visceral fat secretes inflammatory cytokines. The visceral fat, that deep belly fat, the fat between our organs, this is the white fat I'm talking about, secretes inflammatory cytokines, propagates inflammation in the body. If you have a high C-reactive protein or high sensitivity C-reactive protein, if you have high inflammatory markers overall, you want to lose that belly fat. That's the white fat that we're talking about. So it's very interesting, the study. Hey, maybe, you know, drink some coffee if you're not caffeine sensitive. If the caffeine in your coffee isn't raising your blood pressure, right? If you have high blood pressure, you want to be careful with caffeine. I always recommend eliminating it altogether. It's not worth it. So take a bit of a walk in the chilly weather, maybe in the evening as temperatures come down. Wear less clothing. Maybe you don't need that sweater. In the wintertime, don't crank up your thermostat to 75 degrees. Maybe you're okay at 65. And you know, proper temperature for sleeping is between 60 and 68 degrees Fahrenheit. That's where you want it to be so that you can maintain your sleep. Very important. So a cooler temperature is ideal for the production of brown fat, the metabolically active brown fat that we want. Okay? Interesting stuff. And vitamin D supplementation for PCOS. Ideally, a low-carb diet, vitamin D, checking that vitamin D serum levels are where they should be. I like to see it above 55. Above 40 means you're not deficient. That's good. Optimal is between 55 and 85. We don't like it creeping up near 100 or over 100, except in special cases, maybe in the setting of cancer or some other medical conditions. But you want supervision from your doctor when you're taking doses that high. So, vitamin D for PCOS, caffeine to stimulate brown fat, and hey, the jury is still out on whether it's the caffeine in the coffee or some other component in the coffee that's doing that. So rest assured, I'll be keeping my eye on that. And I want to thank you for joining me on another Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.